This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Movies. We love them. Film festivals. Toronto has them. Dozens and dozens of film festivals. Welcome to the Film Festivals in Toronto podcast, part of a project on Rabble.ca to celebrate the many festivals of film in Canada's biggest city. So turn the lights down. The show is starting.
Hello, this is Matt Adams, once again hosting the Film Festivals in Toronto podcast, or the FIT show. We have two festivals coming up that we are looking at. One is not all bang and noise, but instead is the Toronto Silent Film Festival, running April 4th through the 9th. And then we're going to be talking about the Images Festival, which is on-screen, off-screen, and live image goodies. But let's start with The Sound of Silence and the Toronto Silent Film Festival. So Shirley Hughes is the festival director, chief bottle washer, Niagara People, writer of checks of the Toronto Silent Film Festival. Thank you for talking to me today, Shirley.
Oh, thank you.
So Shirley, what is it about silent film that you love? What attracts you to silent film?
Well, I think it's what attracts me to any film, really. Whether it's silent film or the latest blockbuster, it has to be good. I think with silent film, more than anything else, there's a few different things. For one thing, it is original work. It's work which still resonates today. It's the basis of all filmmaking, which is image-driven. People get caught up an awful lot in the fact that there's no sound, which is simply not true. The sound comes through music, usually live. So you have a very interesting live component and interpretation by musical artists with silent film. But it's just a very interesting way of telling a story through visual imagery, which I really quite like. It was also filmmaking which started off the film industry. It really has an awful lot of energy to it, an awful lot of creativity to it, and a fair amount of artistry to it. So I actually think I appreciate modern films even more after watching an awful lot of silent films or silent era films, just because I've actually learned how to watch films a little bit more closely rather than just relying upon dialogue.
Yeah, it's like the root of a language. It's like learning Latin or something for...
Yeah, it is. Silent film requires something a little bit more from the viewer than a modern film, for instance, because you are required to... I know it sounds kind of weird, but you are required to pay attention to the film. You can't wander away from it. And because it's a little bit more intense, you actually get a lot more involved in silent film viewing than you would a more modern film.
And you said, you mentioned that you are doing it with live music and performance. Mm-hmm. And I think you're doing that for all your showings. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. We do it for every film that we've... The only film that we've never shown with live accompaniment was last year's film, F.W. Murnau's last film, Taboo, just because it was originally not intended for a live musical performance. It was brought out in 1931 or so and did have an attached musical soundtrack onto it. But for everything else, we pride ourselves in having live musical accompaniment, usually piano, but sometimes with different ensembles and bands like we have this year. And that really adds an extra dimension to the whole experience. And it actually makes it a live cinema experience, which is unique to every screening.
And are there like historical records or notations or even from the director about what kind of music they're seeking for? Like, you know, stage direction where they said, oh, this is the kind of music you want? Or has it always been left up historically to the interpretation of the artist that was present?
Well, for different things. For the very large films that came out in the silent era, for instance, Birth of a Nation or Metropolis or Ben-Hur, the 1925 version, There'd be scores written for that. And a lot of these major films actually played in their first run in cities like New York or Chicago or Los Angeles with philharmonic or symphony orchestras. So it was a very large affair. Obviously, in smaller centers, you're not going to have an orchestra playing to a film, so you would have piano accompaniment. There were film scores written for them. An awful lot of the times, the studios would send out notations for pianists or other people playing to the films about what type of music they are suggesting for certain scenes. Because an awful lot of these accompanists, because they'd be playing all day, wouldn't have an opportunity necessarily to see the films ahead of time because they'd be changing over quite rapidly. Filmmaking back in those days was huge. A lot more films were being made in those days than they are now. So yes, there's not that many original scores which are left. We do have some. Most of it was partially improvised or fully improvised by the musical artists of the day. So it could get quite interesting, but they'd use all types of different music, contemporary, classical, whatever fit that particular scene or that film.
And then you have a wide range of films, too. You have The Passion of Joan of Arc, you mm-hmm. have Tokyo Chorus from Japan, you even have a Mary Pickford, yep. sort of her last film, which I was fascinated to read about, My Best Girl from 1927, which you're going to have, I guess, as you put it, the mighty Wurlitzer Theater organ, which is fantastic.
Oh, it is the best instrument to hear live. It's incredible. And it's on her birthday, too, which is,
April
which is
8th.
A lot of fun.
Yes, mm-hmm. Monday, April 8th. And so do you have a film that you're particularly sort of thrilled about that you want to highlight from this year's lineup?
Well, for me personally, it's the film The Crowd, which we're screening on Saturday, April the 6th. That's a film which is a classic, King Vidor, who directed The Big Parade and other films. He had a huge career, and this is one of his best. It's one of those films, it's really a film person's film in a lot of ways because it's read about, you read about it constantly, you see pictures from it, you see clips from it, but not too many people have actually seen it nowadays because it's not available on DVD. I have an old VHS copy of it. We're using an archival 16mm print, which apparently is in pristine condition. So that not only is an important film to see, but it's a really important film for later filmmakers because it was highly influential to other filmmakers over the years. So The Crowd is kind of my personal little favorite, but, you know, it really depends on what type of film you want to see. I mean, no one can deny that Passion of Joan of Arc is not one of the greatest films ever made, and it's a tremendously profound film, and it's for a lot of people, it's a very difficult film to watch because it's so intense.
Well, and then you also have your range of, Laurel and Hardy slapstick kind of thing, mm-hmm. Harold Lloyd, that whole thing, so it's an incredible range. And it's also, you're in multiple locations.
Yes.
You are April 4th through the 9th. And what's the website for people?
That is TorontoSilentFilmFestival.com. It has all the film schedules. It has the accompanists on that, if you want to read about the accompanists, and obviously advanced tickets.
And when people go, they can, what are they expecting, sort of a crowd that are these sort of participatory crowds where they're, you know, shouting at the screen, or is this going to be more of a, you know, or is it going to depend on the film?
It's going to really depend on the film. I've actually bragged to other film festival people that, you know, our audiences are probably the best audiences around because you never hear a peep from them. There's no chit-chatting in the back corner or, you know, looking at the cell phone or anything like that. We have an audience which is highly engaged. Now, for the comedy shorts, for Slapstick Smorgasbord, Now that's when it becomes a little different because it gets really rock and roll in there. And I have to say, last year we had, I was sitting near a bunch of kids and, you know, these are films made back in the 1920s. And you're going, okay, you know, these kids are not going to be able to relate to that. Well, they totally related to it. They got so excited because we show about 5 short films every year. They got so excited, they would actually start standing up on their seats, howling with laughter. And I remember distinctly at the end of it, when we came out of the theater, there was people lined up for the whatever film the Fox was screening after us. And people were saying, like, what the heck was going on in there? What film were you showing? And we're going, oh, well, we showed this, this, and this. And our grand finale was a Laurel and Hardy film, We Fall Down, which probably has one of the greatest comedy endings of all time. And they said, well, we could hear the laughter out on the street. And this is through closed doors at the Fox Theater. So that says something about the power of silent film, and the continuing power of silent comedy, which is just some of the best. So we get a wide range of audiences, from kids for some films. Obviously, it's not appropriate for them on certain levels. So let's say go see Passion of Joan of Arc, they'll probably run screaming from the theater. But we have a wide range of audience ages, from kids to teenagers, which come back every year, which I'm pleasantly surprised at. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, right up until people in their 80s. So we get them all.
It looks like an amazing festival. Shirley, thank you for talking to me.
You're very welcome.
This is Shirley Hughes from the Toronto Silent Film Festival, running April 4th through the 9th. We now move on to the Images Festival, which is Toronto's annual spring celebration of independent and experimental film and video, featuring 10 days of screenings, installations, performances, and symposia. Here's my interview. Hello, today we're talking to Image Festival's Artistic Director, Kate McKay. Thank you, Kate, for talking to me.
Hi, thanks. No problem.
So it's Image Festivals. You have a tagline I like: on screen, off screen, and live images goodies. So how do you describe the Image Festival?
Right now we keep saying that the Images Festival is not just a film festival, that we're in fact Toronto's original interdisciplinary festival. But basically what we show is moving image work, or interpretations of moving image work, that are challenging in terms of form as well as content. And now that we're in such a hybrid age, I mean, there's really no hard line between film and video. Mm-hmm. We were the first festival in Toronto to show video and film together in the same sort of context. And we've continued to show works that are inventive and exploring the medium on all kinds of different levels, whether it be in terms of content or form.
And what you're showing tends to be sort of, they're not simply sets of films, but curated groups of films that have themes and approaches more than like a single film that you're showing. Is that correct?
Yeah, we show all kinds of things of any length. I mean, last year we showed a 5-hour long feature film from the Philippines. You know, I think we also showed a 57-second film from the States, a 16-millimeter film work. So it's kind of films of any duration, and we just try to put a program together that has some coherence but isn't tied to any particular theme. Usually the themes come out of the films we see over the course of the year while we're programming, and I never like to set a theme and push films into mm-hmm. my idea of where they fit. Rather, I find that when we're watching a bunch of films, you tend to see like people going in certain directions. And then you might have a sort of a group of particularly strong works that resonate, maybe not just in terms of a particular theme like water or mountains, which I find is like the most boring thing ever. But in terms of, like, you might have one film that is talking about water or landscape, and another film which might not be an obvious thematic connection, but sort of connects in another way, maybe a formal way, or maybe echoes the theme, or maybe in some other way. So it's really these subtle connections that we try to favor when we're putting groups of shorter films together. And then in the span of the whole festival itself, sometimes feature works will resonate with collections of shorts in different ways, so to create sort of an experience for anyone that who can take in the whole festival or who wants to take in the whole festival. We hope that there's enough unity and variety to sort of create all kinds of interesting links in the experience of going from galleries to live performances to the cinema, and having all those works speak to one another in interesting ways.
You have, like, for example, you have one on memory, as it were. I don't know how it's being pronounced, but perhaps mnemonic devices. It depends how you're pronouncing that, the spelling there. But the program summons and explores organized memory as a means for better absorbing the present and portending the future, and is a very interesting set of films there. So I think that's what I was trying to get at. It seems to me that in some cases you have some sort of groupings that, so it's not, I'm trying to make it clear to people, they're not going and seeing just random hodgepodge.
No, it's not random at all. Like all the curated shorts programs, like we're really kind of proud of them. We really work to hone them and hone the way the works talk to one another. And the themes are a jumping off point, but really it's about the whole experience of seeing one thing up against another, maybe a 35 millimeter film up against a video, maybe, films that, if you come to one of those programs, even if you don't like one of the films on the program, you'll probably like another, because we try very hard not to, like a co-programmer and I always said, we don't want to make things that are too samey. So You don't want to have a bunch of films together that are quite similar. Like we try to have a little sort of contrast in the programs. So if you have a very frenetic sort of single frame animation film, then you'll have it with sort of a longer take film. And then also different approaches to themes.
And then you also have a international student showcase, Borders and Bodies, which is very interesting, with a collection of people bringing together a wide range of work. Can you talk a little bit about that one?
Yeah, I mean, all are the some we do have guest programmers for some of our programs, and the student we always get a group of student programmers to program our student show. So we had three excellent student programmers, one Zoe Hain-Jones, Cameron Moreno, and Tomas, I can't pronounce his last name right now, but they're from Ryerson, OCAD, and York University. So they basically go through all our student submissions and put together a program in there, and we really encourage them to look for international works, but also to look for just look for films that go together nicely. And they always do an amazing job. We have amazing student programmers, because there's such a rich film culture in Toronto and so many good film schools that I find the quality of Toronto student work is pretty high. And then people that are studying film in Toronto have such there are so many resources at their fingertips. So I find that the film students in Toronto are amazing. So they always make a good program for us.
And you also give people other students of film a shot at it with it. You have an open screening at a CineCycle, right? Kind of a first come, first serve.
Yeah,
like just put it up.
Serve, and that's always super. It's a super fun. It's a casual environment, but really, really fun. And it'll be super fun because CineCycle this year is also our lounge space, and the open screening will be happening after an amazing film performance by animator Jody Mack, who's basically done a remake of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon in animated form, which is a portrait of her mom's poster and pop ephemera business, which was going out of business. So I know that sounds...
What's the name of that film?
It's called Dusty Stacks of Mom, the Poster Project. And it's on Friday, April 19th at 10:30, I think. Please check our website for correct listings.
And your website is?
Is imagesfestival.com.
And you're running April 11th through the 20th. And if you're going to give people in very busy Toronto a few of your personal highlights, knowing that they're all your favorites, what would you perhaps give them a little
so
tip
hard.
For?
I'd say definitely the Jodi Mack I'm really excited about. It's going to be super fun. She's singing along to this film that she made, about her mom. It really has to be seen to be believed. One of our jury members, Jean-Marie Taino, will have a new film. I've only seen a very, very, very rough cut, but he's really one of Africa's preeminent documentary filmmakers, and we're really happy to have him on the jury and seeing all the films and installations with us. But he'll have a new film called A Leaf in the Wind, which I think is going to be it can't help but be great. It's an amazing story, a very sad story about a woman's life after she was orphaned when her father was assassinated, a political assassination. So that's a sort of a more political documentary. I like all the curated shorts programs, and I would say check out a few of those. Any of those will be interesting. We have a guest programmer, Elena Duque from Spain, who's put together a program of films around the theme of patterns, and which is going to be super great. We have a film that we're not allowed to talk about, which is because of the premiere policies of other festivals. So we're doing a special sneak preview of an amazing film that was basically made out of 60 hours of audio correspondence between two lovers in the mid-60s.
And when is the secret film being shown?
The secret film is being shown on Friday, April 12th at 9 p.m.
At
Jackman Hall.
At AGO, where there's a number of films being shown.
Yeah, there are a lot of films like that night. We also have our Canadian Spotlight presentation with the artist Althea Thalberger, and we're showing a collection of her shorter films and all films based around the idea of the long shot. She also has an installation on a power plant right now. We kind of like to sometimes tie in on-screen programs with off-screen programs and make them echo in certain ways. So it was a really great opportunity to work with Power Plant and bring in an artist who'd been on our short list for a long time to work with. So we're really excited about that. Our closing night event at St. Anne's Church on Gladstone Avenue is an incredible venue because it's a beautiful church sort of built on a Byzantine style. And it's decorated with Group of Seven murals. It's amazing. Like, I didn't really know it existed until I actually attended a performance at an Images Festival a few years ago that I was blown away by. And that's our opening and closing night events are going to be there, and they're both going to be awesome. And closing night in particular, we've commissioned a local artist, Alexandra Gellis, to put together a single channel video that sort of grew out of an installation project she's done around borders and especially around the Panama Canal, and sort of about the natural and unnatural use of landscape, the militarization of landscape. And she's basically creating this single channel work, and then we've invited these two awesome jazz musicians who are going to improvise to her work. So that's Hammy Drake, who's an amazing jazz drummer from Chicago, and David Mott, who's sort of a local treasure, not kind of a musician's musician. He teaches at York. He's like an amazing master of the baritone saxophone. And so I'm super excited to see how the three of them come together, because it's kind of, in a way, a blind date. You know, we kind of fixed them all up because we thought they'd get along, and I think they will. And I think it's just going to sound and look amazing in the church. So I'd recommend everyone look out for that. It'll be really fun. Our opening night too, with Tim Hecker and Robert Todd. I mean, Hecker's award-winning electronic musician, really interesting. Robert Todd's like a master 16 millimeter filmmaker, and he's doing a sort of a double screen. He's basically using two projectors to superimpose one image over another, and the images are already kind of layered. So he's experimenting with this new technique that he's just been learning, and I think that's also going to be amazing. And that's the thing I really like about images. We also give people room to experiment.
And yeah, it's an incredible lineup. It really is. Yeah. Kate, thank you for your time.
Oh, thanks.
Kate Mackay from Image Festival has been around since 1987 and will be running from April 11th through April 20th. And there's the credits. That's the end of our show. Be sure to check out other features about film festivals in Toronto, including reviews and more, at rabble.ca/features/series-fit, F-F-I-T. It's Film Festivals in Toronto series. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.